makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Purine and Pret Cooking Fat, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, Maple Margarine, and Niblet's Cheese Twists present the Epic Casebook. In which Inspector Carr investigates.
Good evening. Regular listeners to this series will have observed that it is not unusual for senior members of the murder squad to be asked to conduct investigations into activities which are not usually their province. Some will remember my being asked by the Commissioner of Police to head the team assigned to the task of finding the missing Latin American diplomat. Another was the case of the strange suicide of a brilliant Foreign Office official. In other words, there are times when the Commissioner feels it necessary to invoke the entire machinery of the Yard in the national interest. Why all this? Well, it's because of the extraordinary publicity surrounding the claim to one of Britain's oldest earldoms, when an American named Ralph Marriott arrived to claim the title. He promised that for every £50 share invested in his fund, the sender could hope to receive a 100% profit as soon as the inheritance became his. This upset the establishment quite considerably, as you can imagine. Questions were asked in Parliament. The Home Secretary was asked to look into it. He invoked the aid of Scotland Yard, and the Commissioner delegated me with the task of probing Mr. Marriott's motives and integrity. Strangely enough, although the Commissioner suggested I absent myself from the murder squad whilst looking into Mr. Marriott, it proved to be impracticable. In the process of probing, I uncovered a murder. Let me tell you about it. I've called my story Death Most Noble.
What are you thinking about?
Oh, I was just thinking about the week we spent in that dilapidated old beach shack and the fun sandwiches you concocted. You had a thing about yum-yum peanut butter, which you mixed with...
Crisp bacon, my yum-yum special.
It was great. And then there was the honey. I must say, honey and yum-yum taste very good.
It's good, healthy eating. Hey, what are you thinking about now?
Just thinking a yum-yum sandwich would taste very nice right now.
Smooth, creamy, yum-yum peanut butter. Memorable because it's the peanut butter that remains creamy from the first pat to the last bit right at the bottom of the jar. No wonder little boys, and dads too, enjoy scooping it out by the fingerful.
Yum, yum. This is nice.
For all we knew, Ralph Marriott could have been the epitome of honesty, that he was just seeking financial support for his rightful claims to the succession. Consequently, I couldn't very well ask him to pay us a visit at the Yard. Mahomet went to the mountain. Mr. Marriott?
Yeah, I take it you're Inspector Carr.
Yes, sir. My warrant card.
Oh, I don't need to see that now. You come on in.
Thank you.
I mean, you're not arresting me or anything like that. Are you?
No, sir, no. As I said on the telephone, the Home Secretary is a little bit worried about all this publicity.
Now, you said something about my inheritance. Any question you happen to ask, I'll be happy to answer them.
Well, it's very good of you, sir. I've been through your papers. There's no reason at all why you shouldn't be in this country or why you shouldn't lay claim to the title. Frankly, Mr. Marriott, what is worrying us is the advertisement.
Well, how come? It's all on the up and up. I need dough. I spent every dime I possess practically in legal fees and what have you. I may have to take my claim to the House of Lords.
Take a look at this advertisement, Mr. Marriott. You're offering a return of £100 for every £50 invested.
So? There's nothing wrong in that, is there?
Well, you only need a few hundred people applying for shares and bang, it'd go your inheritance.
Inspector, have you come here to ask me to withdraw my advertisement?
No, sir. I'm here to establish your bona fides.
You mean my right to the estate? Okay, fair enough. I'm the last of the Merritts. The Earl died suddenly and intestate it. For something like 8 months, the local attorney in Merrittshire has been trying to find the next of kin. Well, I'm that guy. I understand the estate is worth well over $1 million.
Have you seen the local solicitor?
Sure I have. You don't think I'd invite these good British people to invest in my inheritance fund unless I was pretty sure of the outcome?
Forgive me. That's what the Commissioner of Police is worried about. That's why I'm here. Do you mind if I ask you to show me proof of your inheritance?
Not one bit. As soon as you mentioned Scotland Yard, I thought I'd have the papers ready when you arrived. There you are. It's all in these papers. Inspector, you may not know, but our family goes back over 200 years when old Joshua Merritt was born.
I gathered it was a pretty old family.
Well, he was born in Plymouth on September 9th in the year of our Lord, 1752. Now, they didn't have birth certificates in those days, of course.
Of course. The births were usually entered in the parish register of the local church.
That's right. Unhappily, this church containing particulars of great-grandfather's birth was destroyed in that terrible air raid you had during the last war.
So I assume you've got other proof.
Oh, sure. Here, now take a look at this Bible. Look at that here in the flyleaf. It's pretty faint, but it says very clearly, on this day, the 9th September, in the year of our Lord, 1752, my dear wife, Rebecca, was delivered of a male child whom we've named Joshua.
I see, and that was your great-grandfather.
That's right. Now, sir, if you take a look at this genealogical tree which I've had drawn up at great expense, you'll see the whole story. You see, my great-grandfather had a brother who was 2 years older. Now, he inherited the title of Viscount. Now, this is what caused the split. My great-grandfather decided to emigrate to Virginia around about the year 1800. Now, that's where my grandfather was born. If you look further along, you'll see the family tree down to my birth in Wyoming in the year 1910. The English branch of the family have all died out. I'm the sole survivor, the male one anyway, and that's why I'm here in London to claim my inheritance.
And you say there's no other claimant?
Well, look for yourself, Inspector. My dad was killed in the First World War. All the others have died out. No, I'm the only survivor of the entire Merritt clan.
It's fascinating. Never seen a family tree going back as far as that.
Oh, I don't suppose you have, Inspector. It cost me many thousands of dollars in research applying to the College of Heralds, Somerset House, but, well, it's all been worth it.
Yes, it looks like it, Mr. Merritt. Or should I say, my lord?
Oh, not yet. Not yet, friend. See, doesn't it just kill you? Me with my Wyoming accent all decked out in ermine. Well, sir, is there anything else you want to know?
No. No, everything seems perfectly straightforward. Although I must confess, we are a little unhappy at this advertisement.
Oh, degrading for the British aristocracy, eh? Okay, I get the message. I've received enough dough to pay all the fees I need. You can go back and tell your commissioner there'll be no more soliciting. I'll withdraw every advertisement. Mind you, there's an exception to every rule. How about you, Inspector? Would you like to gamble on me for the tune of 50 quid? Okay. I was only kidding. I'll show you to the door.
Not being a member of the Royal College of Heralds or an employee at Somerset House, where Britain's births and deaths are recorded, I was in no position to question the highly impressive documents produced by Mr. Merriott. Yet there was a sort of challenging, triumphant air about him as he showed me to the door. My antennae told me that all was not according to Hoyle.
Yes, Inspector?
Operations, please.
Going through, sir.
Operations here.
Oh, ops, the Merriott inheritance. The commissioner wants it to have top priority.
Right, sir.
Now, what a man put on him night and day. He may be as pure as the driven snow, but until his claim is heard, we can't take any chances.
Very good, sir.
And get through to X Branch. I want to know who granted him a visa to enter Britain, how long he said he was intending to stay, the lot.
Right, sir. What do you think about this inheritance claim, sir? What do you think...
Now, now, Ops, you ought to know better than that. I have no thoughts on the matter at all. But I'll tell you one thing.
What's that, sir?
I'll wager my non-existent bowler hat to that promotion you're expecting that there's more to this gentleman than meets the eye. I want to know who his bankers are, all about this inheritance fund he's created, the lot.
Very good, sir.
Come in. Oh, hello, Jackson. Oh, what joy did you get from the solicitor fellow?
Well, they're a very old and reputable company, Inspector.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to the senior partner. They were commissioned by a firm of Wyoming attorneys to act for Mr. Marriott, which they did in good faith.
Why good faith?
Well, sir, Mr. Turnbull Sr. had the shock of his life when he saw the advertisements inviting people to gamble on the success of Marriott's claim to the inheritance.
I see. Did he pass any opinion on the genuineness of the claim?
Well, that's just it, sir. He thinks the whole thing is fraudulent. He says he would like to pull out, but he daren't without risking a court action for damages.
Damages?
Well, if he refuses to continue to act as Marriott's English legal representative, that would cause people who invested to become suspicious.
Yes, fair enough. Oh. Cop.
Obviously, I say the name of the bankers you wanted. It's the National Counties, Mayfair Branch.
Well, I hope there's nothing wrong, Inspector Carr.
Not as far as I know. The fact is that the situation is so unusual, Mr. Palmer, we want to establish that this man is not running a very clever confidence trick.
Indeed. I was almost tempted to invest $1,000 myself.
Hmm?
I mean, it isn't every day that one has a chance to have a personal interest in an earldom, is it now?
You say $1,000?
Hmm.
Well, the advertisements are inviting 50s.
Oh, 50s? Oh, he's got a few of those. He offered me a slice at 5,000. I thought my superiors would not look kindly on the manager of their largest branch becoming personally involved.
You hold the books of this investment fund. I'd like to have a look at them, if you don't mind.
Oh, dear. Oh, that's rather putting me on the spot. A client's personal finances...
Please, Mr. Palmer, let's not indulge in any banking niceties. You'll be in a greater spot if the fund that you're handling grows to enormous dimensions and it blows up in your face.
Why, do you
Please,
think
Mr. Palmer, don't ask me what I think. Let's take a look at the books. There's a good chap. I was astonished. Sir Reginald Arbuthnot, £5,000. The chairman of Britain's largest chain of furniture stores, Rudolf Kessel, £10,000. Numerous entries of £3,000 and £5,000. And then, Mrs. Agnes Croxley, the young widow of the millionaire racing driver killed at the Grand Prix in Monte Carlo, £60,000. £60,000. That's crazy.
Well, Mrs. Croxley is one of our clients. She lives around the corner in Curzon Street.
But this is nonsense. Croxley left something like £2 million. What would she want to invest money to... How did she come to invest this money? Did she answer an advertisement, or were you acting on behalf of Mr. Marriott?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, come off it, Mr. Palmer. Bank managers frequently recommend sources of investment.
Well, I did happen to mention it to Mrs. Croxley.
And recommended it?
Well, yes.
For a commission?
Well, why not? There's nothing wrong in that. It is all arranged after banking hours.
Well, now I'm beginning to see daylight. There's something like £128,000 contributed by people who want a stake in his inheritance. Even if he fails in his claim, he's cleared himself at least $100,000.
If you're suggesting that I would be a party to anything fraudulent, Inspector Carr...
Just a moment. I thought I made it perfectly clear to you that no one is imputing unlawful practices. Now, I wonder if I may use your telephone. I'd like to make an appointment to meet Mrs. Agnes Croxley.
Hmm.
Something else on your mind, Mr. Palmer? What is it?
Well, it's supposed to be kept confidential until after the claim has been resolved. You won't find Mrs. Croxley at all unhappy about her investment in the inheritance fund. You see, she's going to become the Countess of Merriottshire. They're going to get married.
Mr. introducing Marmaduke and Henrietta.
I say, Henrietta, what's that white stuff you're putting in the pastry?
Snowflake flour, stupid.
No, the other white stuff.
That's Pret shortening. Don't you know shortening when you see it?
Well, of course I do. That pastry is getting shorter all the time. What do you want to put Pret in the pastry for, Henrietta?
Because I can't fit it in the fridge.
What's the matter? It's too long, I suppose.
No, the fridge is too short.
Now, what's that white stuff you're putting in the pastry?
Pret shortening?
No, the...
You mean the flour?
No.
Oh, my gosh, it's the fridge.
Tell me, if you didn't put that Pret shortening in the pastry, what would happen?
You'd get a long face.
I say, does that mean your fingers get shorter as you mix that Pret shortening into the pastry?
No, but your smile will get wider when you taste the pastry made with Pret.
It just didn't add up. Particularly after making a transatlantic call to James McGrath, a senior member of the American Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Mary, you say, why, sure. He hit the headlines when he told reporters that on his trip to Europe, he was staking his claim to the title of Earl of Merriottshire.
Did you get the information I telexed you about?
Yeah, they're an old and respected family. You can take it from me, Carl. The guy's as clean as a whistle.
Then I give up.
Come again?
No, never mind. Thanks for your trouble. Look, I may have to contact you again later.
Anytime, you know that. Goodbye.
Bye. Did you hear that, Jackson?
Yes, sir. Looks as though we have to tell the commissioner the man's in the clear.
In the clear, nothing. The man's a crook. I just can't understand it. Hey, what about this Mrs. Croxley? What time am I meeting her?
At 3 o'clock this afternoon, sir.
I really can't see what this is all about. Really, Inspector, it's all perfectly clear.
As clear as mud. Why should Mr. Merriott need an additional £60,000 to finance his claim?
Well, isn't that his affair and mine?
No, madam. The granting of an earldom is the nation's affair. And we don't like the idea of Mr. Merriott laying the odds at even money. So there was a horse race. Why, if you financed him to that amount, does he need to advertise as he does?
Look, Inspector Carr, Mr. Palmer told me of your suspicions. He also told you that Ralph Merriott and I are getting married. Under the circumstances, don't you think that your visit is in rather bad taste?
Oh, that's a risk I have to take, Mrs. Croxley. You see...
No, I don't want to hear any more.
Mrs. Croxley, I was a fan of your husband's. He was one of the few young industrialists who wasn't just concerned with the balance sheet of his company. He really loved motor cars.
And he died because of it.
It's true, madam. Let me put my cards on the table. I have no concrete evidence that Mr. Merriott is anything but what he claims to be. An American citizen of British heritage seeking his rights to that heritage.
The tone of your voice says otherwise.
It reflects what my instincts tell me. Have you ever stopped to wonder why a man should fritter away half of his inheritance? I have the figures here, madam. An edict in Chancery was issued inviting claimants, those who regarded themselves as rightful heirs to the estate. The old earl died without issue and without a will.
You're not telling me that, Inspector.
Please listen to me. There are 18,000 acres of land, a country house, and other assets. The whole amount comes to close on £500,000.
Well?
Mr. Merriott has collected already £128,000. Now, why should he want to hand out all that money? Remember that he's got to pay to people like Sir Reginald Arbuthnot £10,000. Sir Reginald's five plus the £5,000 profit. Does it make sense to you, madam? Couldn't he have just taken your money and used a little of it for legal fees and whatnot?
What do I care about this money? What are you trying to say to me, Inspector Carr?
Mrs. Croxley, with every respect, I am suggesting you do not come to any firm arrangement with Merriott.
But Palmer told you. We're going to get married.
That isn't for me to comment. But I think you'd be well advised to keep that possibility a secret until the inheritance is resolved. It was not a pleasant task, shaking the confidence of the young woman. I did it to soften any future possible blow that might befall her later.
Now my antennae were really working overtime. I had to resolve the obvious contradictions emerging from my inquiries. A message from operations assisted greatly. Car.
Operations here, Inspector.
Yes?
Piece of interesting information, sir.
Ah?
Marriott's arrival in Britain.
Go on.
Arrived on the Queen Mary, June the 14th, sir. Booked in at the Royal Southampton Hotel with the next army friend of his, a Mr. Harold Landon.
And what about immigration and so on?
All satisfactory, sir. But 2 days later, his friend was drowned.
What?
Hired a catch, capsized. Inquest, verdict, accidental death.
And what about Marriott?
Flung to a lifeboat, sir. Was picked up by a fishing trawler.
Oh, the plot thickens. Thanks, Ops. Oh, one other thing.
Sir?
Get through to McGrath of FBI. Give us the lowdown on the man who was drowned. What was his name?
Harold Landon, sir.
That's him. Quick as you can. Bye. Yes. Oh, hello, Jackson.
Oh, I've got all the material from the Royal College of Herald, sir.
Good. And what about the Bible? Did you hand that into labs?
Yes, sir.
You didn't tell them what I suspected, that it was a forgery, the inscription?
No, sir, I didn't. But judging by the FBI's report, this character's as straight as a die.
You must be joking. He's going to marry a woman with a couple of million in the bank. Why should he talk all those rich guys into investing thousands in his inheritance fundraising? He must be phony. Why ask his bride-to-be to give him £60,000? She'll marry him whether he succeeds to the title or not. At least she would if she could. All right, Jackson. I'm puzzling you as I'm puzzling myself.
Yes, sir.
Everything points to Marriott being a liar. He must be married already. Otherwise, he wouldn't have taken the money offer. I'll bet my non-existent bowler hat.
Oh, don't say it, sir. You'd lose your bet this time. He's not married.
Not?
No, sir. It's all there in the genealogical tree. It's also in his dossier that the FBI sent us.
Oh, no. Well, now, nothing makes sense. Except... Call transport, get me a car. I'm going down to Southampton.
Oh, yes, Inspector. They both signed the register. Yeah, I'll show you. Now, let me see. Oh, yes, June. Here we are. Mr. Marriott, room 406, and Mr. Landon, 408.
Let me see. You put that both in the same handwriting.
I beg your pardon, sir. Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, just a formality. I recollect it now. Mr. Marriott rushed to get a drink. Or was it the other way round? Anyway, one of them signed all the particulars for both.
Was it the other way round? That's it. Mr. Beverly, you are a great hotel manager. Well, in future, I suggest you allow your guests to sign for themselves. I wonder what Mr. Marriott has to say about this. Mr. Marriott, tragic the way your friend died.
Yeah, it sure was. We met up with each other in the army, and what do you know? He was in the next cabin to mine in the Queen Mary, so we decided to spend a few days together before we lost sight of each other for another 10 years.
Instead of which, he was drowned.
Yeah.
Mr. Marriott, would you mind letting me have a look at your passport?
My passport? I showed it to the immigration officials.
I'm a police officer, Mr. Marriott. It comes within the bounds of my duty.
Okay, okay. No need to get riled. If you want to look at my passport, you shall do so. Here it is. There you are.
Thank you. Not a bad photograph. I'll borrow this passport for a few days, if you don't mind.
Yeah, you give me that.
You're a fool, Mr. Marriott. Don't you know I could pull you in for assaulting an officer of the law? That wouldn't please your fellow peers in the House of Lords, would it? I'll give you a receipt for your passport. You'll have it back in a day or two.
Yes?
Oh, Mr. Marriott, the Scotland Yard here, sir. Is Inspector Carr with you?
With me is an understatement. Yeah, it's for you.
Oh, very kind.
Now, look here.
Save it, save it. Hello?
Jackson here, sir. We've got a reply to that radio picture you asked me to send, officer. It isn't the picture of Marriott at all. It's a photo of the other chap. Landon.
Yes, Jackson. Look into that robbery in the High Street.
What did you say, sweet?
Good. I'll take the shopkeeper's statement later. Bye. Oh, no rest for the wicked. Where were we? Oh, yes. Thank you for the loan of your passport. It'll be in safe hands. The safe hands belong to a laboratory assistant in our forensic division. A powerful microscope revealed what I'd already suspected. Marriott's picture had been removed and replaced with that of Lambert.
Well, that about clears it up, sir.
Not quite. I've got a feeling that our claimant to the earldom is not only guilty of fraud and impersonation, but also murder. Car.
Operations here, Inspector.
Yes.
Home Office has agreed to an exhumation order, sir.
Right. Although the order will have to be in the name of Landon, the body was once called Marriott.
Beg your pardon, sir. Oh, excuse me a minute, sir.
Huh?
Somebody's just come in. Yes. What a name. Oh, good. I've got the inspection
on the line.
FBI, sir.
Yeah?
Harold Landon, 3 prison sentences, all for forgery. Last sentence at Tucson, Arizona, 3 years in the state penitentiary for forging negotiable stock.
That's it. Anything else? What about his family?
Married, sir. 3 children. Wife obtained order against him for assault.
He's married, is he? Poor Mrs. Croxley.
I can't believe it. You say he's not Marriott at all.
No, madam. His name is Landon. He has a wife and 3 children, and you've been conned into parting with £60,000.
Blimey, sir. The balloon's going up when this breaks.
It'll go higher when we get the pathologist's report. Come in.
All right, I'll take it.
Thank you very much. It's the pathologist's report, sir.
Here, let me see now.
Well, I'll be...
Everyone wanted to believe the possible heir to the title. Look at this, Jackson. Definite cranial fractures showing deceased received lethal blow to the back of the head. So he murdered his ex-army comrade. It all fits in. They meet on the Queen Mary. Marriott tells Landon that he has some sort of claim to the title. Well, some sort, mark you. They arrive at the docks. They book into the hotel. And it's Marriott suggesting that Landon signs the register for them both while he got a drink, which gave the ex-convict and forger the idea. God, go down into the cells. Have a word with him. Tell him we've got another warrant. This time for murder. Well, what is it, Sergeant?
Why did you ask me to take the Bible to the labs, Inspector? What made you suspect forgery?
Why do I look so puzzled, Jackson? It wasn't brilliant detective work. As a matter of fact, when I went to the Royal College of Heralds, I learned something that made it perfectly clear that Landon had forged some writing on the Bible. It was this. Well, listeners, I won't blame you if you failed to see the forgery. Those of you who know your history might have spotted it. Well, listen to the commercial, and I'll be back to tell you.
I know this is your favorite program, love, but shouldn't you be baking for tomorrow's birthdays?
There's no hurry. I'm taking the easy way. I'm baking 4 maple cakes in one batch.
4 maples? You mean they're all going to be the same?
Same light, fluffy texture, same moist flavor, yes. But they'll have different frostings and fillings. You know, chocolate, orange.
I know, you're trying to blind me with domestic science.
It's very simple. I'm making my usual foolproof maple margarine cake 4 times, that's all.
Maple has its own light blending texture that gives you light-hearted confidence cake after cake. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right with pure, light-textured maple margarine. No doubt about it, maple margarine. A truly great product.
Now, I wonder if any of you spotted it. Marriott, being an honest man, felt that he may have had some claim because of his name and background. This wasn't enough for Landon. He had written in the flyleaf of the Bible... So I assume you've got other proof?
Oh, sure. Here, take a look at this Bible. Now, look at that here in the flyleaf. It's pretty faint, but it says very clearly, on this day, the 9th September, in the year of our Lord, 1752, my dear wife, Rebecca, was delivered of a male child whom we have named Joshua.
I see, and that was your great-grandfather. Now, Landon may have been a clever forger, but he knew nothing about English history. You see, until 1752, Britain and her North American colonies used what was known as the Julian calendar. It was in that year that they switched to the Gregorian calendar. In other words, they substituted the calendar reform introduced by Julius Caesar for the one issued by Pope Gregory, which restored the correct date of the equinox. However, this meant a loss of a clear 11 days in the changeover. Many serfs and laborers rioted because in that first year, 1752, September the 2nd was followed by September the 14th. You see it now? The gentleman referred to could not have written that on this day, the 9th of September in the year of our Lord, 1752, there was no 9th of September. Oh, the moral of the story. Confucius says, he who commits forgery and murder shall inherit the earth, 6 feet of it. Good night.
The Epic Casebook was produced by Michael Silver for the makers of Epic Pure Sunflower Oil, Maple Margarine, Yum Yum Peanut Butter, and Niblet's Cheese Twists, with Hugh Russ as Inspector Carr. Listen again next Thursday night at 9:30 to another exciting story from our Epic Casebook.